You're listening to Dude Radio.
Hey, what's up? I'm Toby Mac, and you know where you be.
Hey, what's up? This is Roma, and you're listening to Dude Radio.
The official radio voice of NudeMagazine.com.
Yo, what's up? This is Martin from Boys Like Girls, and you're listening to Dude Radio.
We're bearing all to expose truth.
I know you must be on pins and needles waiting for the show to start, but you don't have to be. Check out our online home at newdmagazine.com. We have all the hottest, craziest, most trendy news stories in art, spirituality, and progressive culture. You can check it out right now. I'm talking about right now, right now. Don't wait, right now. Hey, you have some time to kill. Who needs Pandora when you have Nude Radio? We are up 24/7. You guys, check us out at our online home, newdradio.com. Hottest music in urban gospel, hottest music in positive rock, R&B, Latin, reggae, soca, world beats, and classic shows. You know, the stuff that you love. We have them playing for you, and our live stuff too. Naked Truth, Spit Truth, Low 101. You know what I mean. Hot stuff, newdradio.com.
Take Nude Radio with you wherever you go. Subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Listen on your smartphone using the TuneIn Radio app. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. And of course, check us out day or night at our official home at www.nudemagazine.com.
Check us out at our online home at www.newdmagazine.com. Bearing all to expose truth, baby.
Well, I'm Kelly Cofield Park, and you are listening to Dude Radio.
Don't you go anywhere. The Naked Truth is coming on in just a few minutes. WD Radio would like to thank Tanisha Diva Crawford and Stella and Dot Accessories for their fabulous jewelry. Thank you, and our listeners, thank you for those hot earrings and necklaces for the giveaways. Keep on doing your thing, girl.
My name is Frankie Faison, and you are listening to Nude Radio.
At the mercy of madmen, the new station got the soul raised. In the hood, they block the block off. Leave the neighbors walking strangers with quizzical looks and awful faces. Oh, 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 oh,
Who needs Pandora when you have Nude Radio? We are up 24/7. You guys check us out at our online home, newdradio.com. Hottest music in urban gospel, hottest music in positive rock, R&B, Latin, reggae, soca, world beats, and classic shows. You know, the stuff that you love. We have them playing for you. And our live stuff, too. Make it truth, spit truth, low 101. You know what I mean. Hot stuff, newdradio.com.
Raising, they're neglecting the children, raised by TV or the thugs in the street. Gotta make that money. School system's ballistic, miseducated statistics. Every 4 years we hear politicians say we gon' make it better, but they never do better. No.
Hey, I'm KP. This resident funny guy and the man behind the Kentucky Current, telling you to listen live every Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to the Naked Truth on Nude Radio. Booyah!
WD Radio would like to thank Life Zone Television for being an impact partner with us. They're doing such an amazing work, and I want you all to support them. They are on 24 hours, 7 days a week, just like us, giving you the best in Christian and inspirational television programming. If you have not heard of them, they're actually on cable, on the World Cable Network, on channel 712. But you can also go onto their website and see how you can access them 24 hours, 7 days a week. Live streaming on the web too, lifezonetv.com. Check them out now. We are in full support of what they're doing.
Vow of chastity and spend our days and nights at the feet of Jesus. That was played on a Canadian radio station after a young woman was approached on the street by a random, persistent guy who she gave her phone number to. Big mistake.
Yeah, hi there, Ogus, Dimitri. I am single. I have no trouble meeting women. I mean, women approach me 6-7 times a day. But I'm very particular about what I like. You're extremely elegant. I couldn't take my eyes off of you, and your friends were very jealous. Even if they say they weren't, I'm envious of the fact that I approached you, and I was very taken by you. Elegant women are very rare. I'm Greek, and I'm very particular about what I like. So I'm giving you an opportunity here. I don't know if you can get some interest on the weekend, but I'm working on a movie script, so I'm pretty much around all weekend doing that. This looks like a landline, and if it is, you may not get the message till Monday, but when you do call me, and then we'll get together for coffee and chat and let the romance begin. I'm a very direct, very passionate, very assertive man, and I want a woman who's very independent and strong. So anyway, we'll talk about that, but I just wanted to formally introduce myself. Now I have. I leave the ball in your court. You call me as soon as you have the courage to. Okay, Olga? Hi there, Olga. It's Dimitri calling again. I left you a message several days ago. You said you were interested. Now, here's the way I work. I don't like leaving second messages. You know, I don't play that game. So here's how it's going to work. It is now Wednesday. Now, I'll assume that you've already left work, and I'll grant you that. But if I do not receive a phone call back from you by 3 o'clock Thursday afternoon, I'm no longer interested, and you can erase my number. I don't play games like that. I'm completely single. I'm very intelligent. I'm great in bed. I make great money. Believe it or not, I'm a complete catch. I've only been single 4 months. There's nothing wrong with me. Matter of fact, I'm one of the few men in the city that has nothing wrong with him. So I'm giving you that 3 o'clock deadline. If I don't hear from you, you lose my number. Now, I understand if you've got other issues, like maybe you're not playing games. Maybe you've had, I don't know, maybe you were abused in childhood. I don't know. There could be another issue that I'm not aware of. But nobody says, call me, hands a person a business card, and then doesn't return calls. It's extremely passive-aggressive. You should actually look that up, passive-aggressive personality disorder. And you let me know if you've got issues, psychological issues, if you're on any sort of medication for anxiety or depression, I'm not interested. But otherwise, don't call me. Okay? Bye.
Thank you, Dimitri. And we will proclaim your...
I'm out of breath. I am out of breath.
If that's not the most arrogant man I've ever heard in
OMG.
My entire life.
Like, I'm totally out of breath. Like, I don't even know what to say.
Dimitri, don't worry. She
will. Wow.
Don't worry. Like,
where is Dimitri? Is there a way we could find Dimitri? First thing you did wrong, Dimitri, you're from Canada. That's the first thing you did wrong.
He said, I'm giving you an opportunity. That's what he said. I'm giving you an opportunity.
Business. That was a business proposal.
He's taking applications. Like, no kidding.
Yes, I happen to be taking applications. So what? But I wouldn't leave a message like that. I'll tell you what. You say those things, Dimitri. You don't actually leave it on people's voicemail. Come on.
Okay.
Like, I agree with him, except if it was in his head.
Listen every Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to The Naked Truth on Mood Radio.
Patience paid off. The Naked Truth is coming up right about now.
Nude Magazine.com.
Yo, what's up? This is Mark from Boys Like Girls, and you're listening to New Radio.
We're bearing all the exposed truth.
Get out! I'm naked!
The Naked Truth.
Yes, indeed. This is The Naked Truth, and I am Tiffany Knowles. I'm very excited to be with you today. The Naked Truth, what are we all about? We are all about exposing the truth. We're the radio arm to NEWDmagazine.com, the spiritually attuned 20-something urbanite publication. And yes, The Naked Truth is all about being 100% truthful. All the time, guys, all the time. So do not tell us we cannot be irreverent or shoot from the hip, because we're going to do it anyway. All right. So we have a very, very, very exciting show for you today. I'm very excited because I think this is one of the biggest interviews I've ever done in my entire life. And we're airing it today on The Naked Truth. For all of you out there who are big fans, thank you so much for listening. It's March 9th, and we are talking to someone very special, the biggest interview, all right? She is the Nobel Peace Prize winner of 2011, Lema Bowie. Now, I conducted this interview with her at the UN last Monday, so we're going to air it here on The Naked Truth. She won't be live on the air, so you can't call in with questions, but you can call in with comments. All right, so that's Lema Bowie. She is the Liberian woman who won the Nobel Peace Prize last year. She is so amazing because she's done a lot of work with women protests and ending the civil war in Liberia, West Africa. So what are we going to do today? That's what we're going to do, and I'm very excited. It's just like I'm shaking because this is a huge interview. And actually, I already did the interview, but say, you know, it's still cool. All right, so I'm Tiffany Knowles, the managing editor of Nude Magazine, NEWD Magazine. It's the premier online publication for the artsy, spirit-filled 20-something. Check us out at NEWDmagazine.com. And today, I have a very special second voice on the program. She is the woman behind Love 101, who you hear every Sunday on NEWDradio.com. Her name is Miss Tasha Phipps. Tasha, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, I am so happy to be with you today. It's so exciting. Nobel Peace Prize winner? Wow. I am so excited to be here. I'm excited like you are excited, girl. Yes, this is definitely Tasha Phipps, Miss Love 101, and I am so happy to be on The Naked Truth with Miss Tiffany Knowles.
Yes.
I mean, this is a beautiful, exciting interview, and I just feel very honored.
Yes.
And blessed to be here today. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. And you know, it's not because the boys bailed. It's just because you're an awesome person. And you, Tasha, are making that Love 101 show really pop. I don't know if any of you have heard the program to date. For those of you who have, you've gotten a special treat every Sunday evening. And for those of you who've not, this is the woman behind it. You do not want to miss this week's program. We're going to talk a little bit about what is in store for you. But before we do that, I'd like to wish a very happy birthday to Paul Lee and Michael Barrett. You're our Facebook friends, and we'd like to wish you a very special happy birthday. May God bless you and all that you do. So, listen, you can get a birthday shout-out on this program. If you become a Facebook friend or a Facebook fan, we will definitely shout you out. On every show, we invite our listeners to engage with us in real time and even on their downtime via our on-demand episodes on Blog Talk Radio, on iTunes, on NEWDradio.com. If you're listening live, you can call us here, 646-727-1706. You can chat in. The chat room is open on Blog Talk Radio. We're here to chat with you about all of the things you'll hear on the show today. You can Skype in, you can tweet,
Facebook in, and we'll get some of your comments on the air. We'll shout them out. So, first things first, though, I want us to do a little bit of a talk about a current event that's taking place very soon, actually. And I wanted to give you guys some information about it. So, Alicia Ramsey, she's our editorial assistant here at Nude, and she's actually participating in something really cool. She's covering an event that's going on at her college, and we wanted to share that information with you. It's Lehman College, and it's taking place on April 24th in the Bronx, New York. It's called Take Back the Night. And Tasha, I don't know if you've ever heard of this movement, but it's kind of cool. And I the first time heard about it.
We did it at Miami-Dade Community College. We've done it at some of the schools that I've been a part of.
Cool, mm-hmm. Because that was something I had read. I'm kind of ashamed to say I read it in this book, but I read it when I was a long time ago, when I was really a big fan of Sweet Valley High. Sweet Valley University, the book, was a series that followed Sweet Valley High, and it was talking about this whole movement called Take Back the Night. And for any of you who've read those series, or who've just, you know, are well-versed into what goes on in campus life, this is an event that takes place at college campuses around the country. And this one's taking place at Lehman College as part of the Child Abuse Prevention and Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And Take Back the Night is an event and a rally aiming at creating awareness around domestic violence and sexual abuse and rape. And it's a really amazing event. There's normally like a candlelight vigil for those who have been a part of or victim of any kind of abuse or violence. And it's definitely something that women take part in, because women, as you know, are more so victims of sexual violence. It was started in 1977. The slogan, and now it's just all around different college campuses in the country. So Lehman College is taking part. April 24th, there's going to be a community resource fair. There's going to be speakers who have been victims of sexual abuse and who are survivors of sexual abuse from 4 to 7 p.m. on that day. There's going to be some counselors on hand for anyone who would like to talk about their abuse. And it seems like it's going to be something very, very good. So if you're in the New York area and you have been a victim of this kind of abuse, definitely go to this event. Or if you want to learn more about this kind of violence and abuse, definitely attend this event and join in solidarity with these women who have had such a traumatic incident that it has happened in their lives. So, I mean, Tasha, I know that you were student government president at Miami-Dade College. So, you know, you obviously were part of things like this, and you know what an impact it can have on someone.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Definitely, Tiffany. And I do encourage people to come out. When I was student government president at Miami-Dade, Miami-Dade Community College, basically, we had the night, and we didn't just encourage people who actually had the abuse happen, but I myself knew of someone who was very close to me, a cousin of mine who had gone through abuse. So we actually told a lot of people to come out. Even if you're not, was directly affected by it, we ask that everybody who knows someone, and usually someone will know someone who's actually gone through some type of abuse, and we basically go there to support. And just like you said, we had the candle light ceremony at one of the events that we had. They actually released balloons. So people
would
have little notes, whatever it is that they wanted to say, and they kind of released the hurt. So that was a counseling method that they actually used. So it was an amazing, amazing time. And people were crying, people were sharing. And like I said, it's really to let go of the abuse, to let go of the hurt, just like writing a letter and throwing it into the fire. saying, you know what, I'm not going to let this affect me anymore. I'm going to take back the night that was stolen from me. It's a beautiful event, and I think that everybody who's in New York really needs to go out. Even if you just want to go to support, you should definitely go out, because it's a time that people really get together, and it's very emotional. And
so can
wow.
men be a part of the event,
too?
Words. Do you think men can be a part of the event? Do you think men would be embraced if they came out to support as well? Would guys be able to come out?
Definitely, because when I was at... Oh, definitely. Because at the school that I taught at, we had males that had been abused. Women are not the only ones that have been abused.
Mm-hmm.
Men have been abused, too. There's boys that have been molested. So they were actually a part of the event, just like the women were. So it's not like, oh, you're a man, of course you were the abuser.
Right.
No, you embrace anyone that has gone through abuse. And definitely nowadays men are being more vocal about the abuse, being molested as a child, maybe by an uncle. So yeah, men are definitely able to be a part of the event, unless they specify. We did not specify that it was only women. Anyone who had been abused could come to the event.
Absolutely. I think that that definitely ties into the interview that we are airing today. And for those of you who don't know, I'll give you a little bit more detail about Lema Bowie in just a little bit. But you know who we have on is KP. KP, thank you so much for joining us. I know that you have a busy morning here, but I'd like to just ask you to come on and give us a KP current. We'd love to have that for today.
Hey, how's it going, guys? This is KP. Well, let me tell you.
Don't do it yet, because I need to do your intro properly, KP.
Okay, okay.
All right, there we go. It's a special intro for you, my dear. Go ahead.
So let me rewind myself. All right. Hey, guys, it's KP here. How's it going, Tasha? Here we go.
Nice.
You guys use Facebook, right? Well, guys, beware, because job seekers, you guys need to be careful. Employers may soon ask to see your Facebook account before they hire you.
No, they won't.
Yes, they will.
What do you mean? That's part of the application?
That could be a part of the application. They were saying, like, if you want to work for the government, like the state government or whatnot, they could, in the interview process, ask you to open up your Facebook account or ask you to give them access to your Facebook account so they can see what you've been posting. Also, even if you get the job, they are some employers are asking that you accept certain people as friends. Those are more for, like, university jobs and more for, like, athletes. They want to keep them in line because, you know, athletes can do some stupid things sometimes and say some really dumb things. So they want you to accept certain people that are sort of like coaches and will keep track of your
Facebook. Keep you accountable? Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Keep you accountable.
Really?
So be careful, guys. It might just be a part of the job process, the application process. It's funny. Wow. It's kind of scary, though, right? Can you imagine? Yeah, I'd like to
they're already looking them up.
Yeah,
they Google you and they actually look them up. So that's something that I know that employers have been doing.
Yeah, that's different, though. They actually want to have access to your account, so they want you to, like, log in or even give them your password or have someone that monitors you.
That's not the same thing that's happening right now, and that's
right now. They kind of just Google you and look at your Twitter feed if you're public, and, you know, your Facebook feeds, but these guys, they want to get in there and see their dirty.
Well, what's going to stop people from having two accounts, though? You can have your account that you give them, and then you can have the account that you use.
Well, sure.
Like,
there's always a workaround. Yeah, there's always a workaround. But it's kind of scary nonetheless.
Now, I have a question, KP.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question, KP.
Right.
I was told, and I don't know if this is rumor as far as the Facebook, but I heard now that we're switching to timeline, everything that is actually posted, there's going to be a time where you cannot delete the stuff that you have on there. So because they're doing timeline, it's kind of like keeping a memory book, and they're saying that the stuff that is, and I don't know if this is rumor.
But I had a bad 2009. I don't want it.
No, okay.
I believe you're saying that now they're going to actually have it like, you know, keepsake, where you're not going to be able to delete things from, you know, that's already been posted on your timeline. So I don't know if that's rumor or not.
I heard the same rumor. But what I do know for a fact is that you can always go in and you can change a posting to see who, you know, to your preference of who can actually see the posting. You understand? So you might have gotten, you know, a little drunk at a party in 2008 and that was on your timeline, and now, you know, you're a VP of HR. You obviously don't want anybody to see that. So you could actually go now, you could go back in and change the settings to, or the privacy settings to, basically say, you know, I only want myself to see that. You know, you can basically stop other people from seeing it. I don't know if that's true, that you can't delete it. That might be true. You might be spot on. But I do know that the privacy settings give you the chance to limit who can actually see your past post.
All right. Well, I mean, all these changes in technology, and you know that people are becoming a little bit more curious about your lives. So I've always said, if you do not want someone to find out about it, just talk to yourself. No need to broadcast it on Twitter or Facebook.
Just say it out loud. Just say it out loud. Like,
Jesus.
I'm about to post something embarrassing about myself, and it's going to be out there for the world to see. Should I click send? Just say it out loud.
With Jesus, it's perfect confidence. Like, he's not going to tell anyone. You know what I mean? That's it. That's all I need to tell you guys. And I've been saying it for a while. All right, KP, thank you so much for your KP current.
Anytime.
All right, we are going to take a little bit of break, but when we come back, we will be airing that interview with Nobel Peace Prize winner Lama Bowie. For all of you who are on pins and needles now, just as I am, very excited about it. So we'll be back in just a little bit. Don't go anywhere. Now, she's not live, but you can always comment in the chat room. You can call us here, 646-727-1706. We'll be back in just a little bit. There's going to be a song. I'll play a promo first, though. Be back.
Still minor, slight irreverence, or wishing from the head. We're only talking the naked truth.
When the coco master fall in love, you don't say what I don't pass, Gabby. Hey! I'm in love. Are you in love?
Mama, you don't make me fall in love.
Weather.
Not. Don't know what love is? Listen to Miss Love 101, Tasha Fitz, every Sunday at 7 p.m. to find out. She's ripping the veil off of that thing we call love and giving you the real deal. Send in your love letters to Tasha at nudemagazine.com. That's Tasha at newdmagazine.com. And she'll even give you advice on air. Pencils up, because class is in session. Love 101, this Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Nude Radio.
Woo-hoo-hoo. Yes, yes, yes. That's the promo for the show that has everybody talking this Sunday, 7 p.m. You guys love that show, and for those of you who are not yet listeners, not yet fans, check it out, 7 p.m. We have the woman behind that show here on the program today, Tasha Phipps. What's up for Love 101 this Sunday? For those who do not know.
Yes, Love 101 this Sunday at 7 o'clock on Nude Radio, we're going to be discussing romance and finance. And as a lot of people know, and if you don't know, money, financial problems is the number one cause for divorce. So we're trying to rectify that now. If you are married, if you're single and looking for a mate, there's certain things that you need to look at. Credit checks, background checks, spending habits. You need to be good with your finance, because you don't want to run into problems when you get married. So this week at 7 p.m. right here on NEWD Radio, we're going to be discussing romance and finance. And it's very important, because we don't want anyone to get a divorce. We want everybody to be married.
Wait, wait.
Married,
not to do a credit check?
Because of money.
That's what I was going to say. Tasha Fitz.
Yes, I really believe, I'll be honest, that when you get married, you need to check out your spouse as much as possible. And if you are married, you will understand why. Because people have different spending habits. Background checks is very encouraged now, because you really don't know who that person is. I remember a woman telling me how she got married to a man, and then found out later that his name wasn't even his name.
What?
Like, he basically created this whole new identity of himself. He had a family and kids, and she did not know. As far as credit checks, the reason why credit checks are being so important, people do credit checks for a job at Burger King, okay? Now, I'm going to spend the rest of your life, my life with you, and I don't really know if we can even buy a house ever, because
listen,
now our credit is one.
It's a little bit more pressing than
our
a job.
Credit becomes one. Yes, they're checking your background, and they have an application, and they're checking your credit score to see if you're responsible. That's the reason why employers do it. So if they're going to do it, if you have
that
to get
a financial
credit check to get a $50 Metro phone, I'm not going to marry you unless I know your credit beforehand. So I think it's very essential, and I'm really big on money. Drake can tell you, he'll be there. And yes, I need to know that you're responsible. I need to know that when I say I do, we'll be able to buy a house if you don't have a house for me already to live in.
In the
and
chat room,
say
Tasha,
so
we
it's
have
important.
Someone in the chat room, Goddess 9, she says credit check? Question mark. Wow.
Yes, credit check.
So wait, so basically anyone rocking... Anyone rocking a Metro PCS phone, you are not, you're not feeling.
No, no, because sometimes they have it in their baby name.
Listen,
so, yeah, you got to be careful.
But question, guys.
You need to see if someone is responsible.
I'm interested in you asking.
You need to know. Like I said, if you know the person is responsible and you just want to go on faith, you know what I mean? Like, okay, they bought a house, so you know, okay, he must have a good credit score. You can just go out on faith. But
okay.
I'm telling
people
are getting divorced because of these things.
My thing is this. I need you to answer this on Sunday. You don't have to answer it now. Should you begin to date seriously if you don't have a proper bank account in order or credit check or your credit is all terrible? Should
check
you
them.
Begin to date? And
you gotta listen to the show, Miss Goddess. You gotta listen to the show on Sunday, and I will answer that.
Great, thank
I
you.
I promise
so
you, I will answer that on Sunday.
That I appreciate.
So save that question for me.
I will.
Yes.
All right.
We will save that. We want to keep you tuned in.
Definitely, definitely. So this week we published an article in newdmagazine.com called African Feminism versus Western Feminism. In it, we feature an interview with Nobel Peace Prize winner Lema Bowie, who many call an African feminist. Yeah, I know what you guys are thinking. Feminism. Oh, that's all about burning bras and unshaved armpits and stuff like that. Who wants to date a woman like that? Well, in Africa, it's more so about not having your husband beat you to a pulp, or being sold off into marriage when you're 10, or get your genitals mutilated at 11.
Whoa, whoa.
See, exactly. This is basic rights that we have in America as women. That's what the African feminists are fighting for. So we're going to play the first part of my interview with Lema Bowie, Nobel Peace Prize winner of 2011. She is famous for organizing women protests and holding a sex strike in Liberia that forced the men of their country to end a 20-odd year bloody civil war. And many people think, okay, well, should that have happened, a sex strike? Well, that was one of the ways that the women could really get the attention of these men, because before that, they didn't have as much power. They used their bodies to send a message. So let's hear from Lema Bowie, the first part of the interview.
My name is Lema Roberta Bowie. I'm a Liberian, and I'm the co-winner of the 2011 Nobel Peace Prize.
So, Lema, I want to first ask you, how did your childhood inform some of your own life missions?
Now, well, I am the fourth of five girls, and my name is actually Lewoma. It's Pele. For what is it about me? And my mother was lamenting her fourth girl. She was really looking forward to a boy. But we eventually had another sister, so five girls, no brother. And so we grew up in a household where we were kind of like forced into feminism. We were taught from early ages that whatever a man can do, a woman can also do. That's one. So it was like never back down from any issue in your life. My father is from a typical traditional background, and from his ethnic background, the secret society of the Sande and the Poro is very important, and these are the secret societies where FGM is usually done. When we came of ages and the relatives came down to take all of us out, he stood his grounds that I would kill anyone who touched any of my daughters. So of the five of us, not a single one of us went through that very traditional practice. Mm-hmm. So till today, we're one of those group of girls who cannot really function well in our village setting because we are not members of those. And it wasn't because of our mother, it was because this man, who should have been pushing for us to go through the process, said no. So my childhood was that childhood that defied, if I may say, culture and tradition. My upbringing defied what the ordinary African, in a typical African setting, would say I went through. My father, even though a student of all of the cultural practices and schools, came and said, probably to himself, my daughter's life would be different. So where do I find myself today? Growing up in that kind of environment where someone stood up for your rights against all odds, where you were taught to fight for what you believe in, it is, I would say, a given that you would go into life, you know, really informed about some of these things and not really backing down on some of it. In my growing up high school years, I saw myself really being angry at molestation, domestic violence, because we lived in a poor middle-class neighborhood, and those were the features of our neighborhood. Someone beating their wife, some man beating his wife, or a child being beaten, all of those things. And I can remember constantly asking my grandmother, why do they do these things? And if any of those older men sent me go and do this, it was always no, because I harbor that somewhere this is not right. You know, somewhere this is wrong. But I had a particular soft spot for housemaids, girls who were taken from the villages and brought into the city and were ill-treated, became my natural friends as a child. I remember probably stealing something from my own things and taking it to them, or calling them and giving them food. If you know the typical story of African children that I brought to serve, they are beaten, they wake up early, go to bed late, they eat. So those were the people that were naturally drawn to. That was how I grew up, and it has followed me till today, fortunately or unfortunately. And then it's just really kind of like grown into my advocacy life and into other things here.
Let's fast forward that you did not grow up with political strife, you know, and you were not a typical traditionalist because your father was against it. How has the conflict, how has that affected reproductive health and family planning in Africa?
You know, when they ask me, Aulin is not something that you join. You are invited into the African Women's Leaders Network.
Okay.
And so when I was invited to join, we're actually two from Liberia as members of the network. At the launching program, I said to BC, Her Excellency, the First Lady of Ekiti State, I think you actually invited me because of my poor reproductive health record. I have five children, one after the other. And so they all laughed and said, no, because I did not at the time see any correlations between reproductive health and rights issue and my peace and security advocacy. Then I started to do my own research because I'm still a student of reproductive health issue. And I started to look at statistics. The highest maternal mortality rate in the world are in areas that have been affected by conflict. That's the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
In countries that are in peace, like Ghana, their rate is low. But if you go to the areas like the north, where they have strife, it's higher. So that was the first awakening thing for me, looking at those statistics. Then I delve further. Where do you find all of the issues that affect women's reproductive health? It is in those communities that have gone through, again, some form of conflict. If you look at, for example, when refugees leave to go into camps, no one comes to them with family planning, pills or sex education immediately, or condoms immediately. Reproductive health issues are totally non-existent at the arrival of refugees. As a matter of fact, you'll be lucky if you even see sanitary pads amongst some of the relief items that come. That's the first thing. Secondly, when countries are going through rehabilitation, you have all of these post-conflict priorities issue. Reproductive health is never within those issues. So it has to really hit a country like Liberia, 994 deaths per every 100,000 births, one of the worst in the world. Sierra Leone, 1,200 per every 100,000. In this day and age, we shouldn't be having those kinds of numbers. But again, because when we started rehabilitating our countries, we didn't see maternal health, reproductive health issues as a priority issue. And then again, there are always conflicting priorities after wars. So if you were to look at putting in a sophisticated maternal health clinic in a hospital versus putting in a very good surgical unit, you'll probably choose that surgical unit first, then that maternal health.
All right, guys, so that is our first part of the interview with Nobel Peace Prize winner Lema Bowie. We conducted that interview with her last Monday at the UN here in New York, so we were happy to have met her. And we are going to take a little bit of a break, but when we come back, we will do the next part of the interview with Lema Bowie. We'll be back in just a little bit. Was Too Much by Coyote. Yes. So we are back here on The Naked Truth, and I'd just like to thank you so much for listening in to our interview with Lema Bowie, Nobel Peace Prize winner of 2011. Tasha, are you enjoying the interview thus far? I certainly
am. Yes, I am really enjoying it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, so much knowledge. I mean, it's been amazing. Mm-hmm.
And the chat room is really popping right now because, you know, a lot of people are kind of opposed to this word feminist. And I kind of was like, you know, that's about burning your bras and, you know, not shaving under your arm and making men feel bad about living, just like existing. But, you know, in Africa, feminism is about having rights, human rights, the rights that we hold and take for granted in the U.S. And so I have to jump on these ladies' bandwagon and say, you know, give them their rights. Give them their rights. So Lema Bowie is definitely the epitome of African feminism. And she, of course, she had this huge sex strike in Liberia that put pressure on the men of their country to end the civil war. So I am going to play the next part of the Lama Bowie interview, Nobel Peace Prize winner of 2011.
Most of the rural communities that we've worked in and continue to work in, the whole issue of early marriages is not all over. You find one area where this practice is predominant, but then you go to another area. But let me back up a bit. What I've recognized, areas where you find a high situation of different forms of violence against women are those areas where the women's movement or the rural women are not vibrant. Areas where you find a very vibrant women's movement, rural women's movement, you see high rate of girls striving to make the best. I'll give you a typical example. Western Liberia, there's a place called Cape Mount. If you go to Cape Mount, you can barely find 25 girls in high school. They are married off early, go at 15 into the traditional secret society, come out at 18, and their husbands are waiting for them. You know, that community, you cannot find. We went to look for 5 women who we could train to serve as mentors for the girls. We couldn't find. You go to a community like Nimba, you have a very vibrant women's movement. Go to Grand Jide, Zwedru, vibrant. And these are amazingly 13 hours rough ride or 15 hours drive into these communities for the women. So you have little of those situations. The graduation rate of girls in Zwedru and Nima from high school is maybe 75 to 100 or 200 a year, whereas in Cape Mount, which is 1 hour and a half from Monrovia, you cannot get 10 girls graduating from high school. So there is a link. What I believe is that if women are inspired, it rubs off. You look at families, even in urban settings, that have daughters or mothers who are very strong. You rarely find women in that family who are laid back. You look in families in urban settings who have gone through, mothers have gone through abuse and remain in that situation. The likelihood of a daughter in that family going through abuse and remaining there for the rest of her life is high. So those are the things. I think the more enlightened, so awareness creation, capacity enhancement, and provision of sustainable economic leverage or a way out for women is a factor to ending some of these things. Where did I go? One of my trips to one of the communities, and someone was being pushed to marry early. Okay, it's Congo DRC. And in one of their villages, the women said to me, globally, people think rape and abuse is our problem here. So they had to do their top 3 priorities: political leadership, economic empowerment, and the rape. So the lack of the women's presence in political leadership, they identify as the root, because if they were up there, they would implement the laws that prohibits people from abusing women. If women were empowered economically, they would not allow their daughters to remain in abusive marriages or encourage their daughters to marry early. And if you check this out, community to community in Africa, that is the situation.
You mentioned your father. I mean, your upbringing is so fascinating. You mentioned your father being the one to stop you from being, and your sisters from being taken. How do you think men play a part in this movement, in making sure that those 3 things that you mentioned are advanced? and how can they join helping?
Someone gave me the definition of empowerment, or the requirement for empowerment. And they say empowerment is, and this is a man, in order to empower, you must be prepared to give up some of your powers. So when my dad was taking that step, he was giving up his power as a man to sit amongst men in his village. And when he was rejecting that particular practice, he was comfortable. But it wasn't comfortable to the point where he didn't need his village.
Mm-hmm.
Till today, he still needs his village. Mm-hmm. But till today, he's not one of those that is like the powers. Reproductive health first for me is, first, the right part is the ability for a woman to be able to do with her body, so her choice of having children when she's ready, her choice, it's all about choice for me. The freedom to express, like we all have the freedom to tie our headgear the way we want to, reproductive rights should be that way. I wake up today, if I want to tie my head like this to express the way I'm feeling, I should. If I want to make it tight, I should. When it comes to reproductive issues, specifically African women, even here at the UN, and that's the beginning of the rights issue, and that's where AULIN, I think, comes in. We should be center, sideways, made up in every part of the discourse concerning our reproductive issue. It's not for some white girl to come and say in Liberia and think the reproductive needs of the women is X, Y, and Z. I think we should be in the middle of the conversation. Mm-hmm. As we go into the communities, we should take the messages from there as members of this. And that's the reason why everywhere I go, I drop my participation in this thing, because it's almost like saying, see, we have the ability to have a say in how many children we want to have. And we're not crazy. I'm not crazy. I had 4 kids like this, and at that time, it was totally out of control. But after, I still decided my choice, my right, that I wanted to have a last baby, and I have that baby. So that should be. When it comes to provisions of services, we should have a say in it. It shouldn't be we have injections here and this. On the part of reproductive health issue, I think as African women, AULIN can also play a major role. I remember in the 80s in Liberia, there was a serious campaign on reproductive health. Women in communities, my mother was trained to go and have focus group discussions with women on issues of reproductive health, where they wanted to go, how they saw it, what they saw. And it was a very effective campaign. We need to start from there. Because if we wait for all of these global partners to come and do it for us, it will always be a controversial issue. Religion and politics will always come in the middle. And I think it's not all gone with our traditional leaders. It's not all lost. There is still ways to engage, because even the men who go on a farm with 15 children feel the pinch. They see how the man in the village with 5 children is progressing, and they see how their lives is. So if we find a strategic way of engaging, I don't think tradition and culture is the recipe for anyone to have a life filled with poverty. It's just how do we frame it, how do we make this story, or how do we make our advocacy attractive for people to address? But I think on rights, as you wake up in the morning and say, today I'm wearing my hair down, when it comes to issue of reproduction, women should be able to say, I'm wearing it down or I'm wearing it up. It's a long way. It's my radical view on the whole issue, but I think it's about time we even open up this space, if not for our generation, for the young generation of women. Auntie B, one of the women from the African Feminist Forum, say, in Africa, the first place we miss the mark, every time our girls sit down and try to touch in front of them, everyone screams, don't touch that place. So we make that whole area very sacred. And then as they're growing up, that sacred space becomes the property of the man who is allowed to touch it. From an early age, we should make girls to understand that just as you possess your brain, your entire body is yours. And I think that those kinds of education we need to put out there for our girls. I've really come to think about this, mm-hmm. and every day is reinforced that for a woman anywhere in this world, mm-hmm. if you're looking for a king, a Gandhi, mm-hmm. and a Mandela to work on your issue, you've missed the mark. You are your own king, you are your own Gandhi, you are your own Mandela, regardless of what your situation is. And this is my message to the women of Africa and to the girls of the continent.
All right, so that is our entire interview with Nobel Peace Prize winner Lema Bowie. And I was inspired also just listening to her again as she spoke words of wisdom. Tasha, was there any particular part of the interview that you thought was poignant and incisive for you?
Yes, yes. I am my own Gandhi. I am my own Mandela. I am my own Martin Luther King, you know, just saying that, you know, for women who are here. But a lot of times, you know, we're looking on the outside and we don't realize that we have so much power within. I thought her last words were amazing and was definitely inspiring.
Yeah, and we have some good discussion taking place in the chat room about what was said by Lema Bowie. There was also something else that I felt like was powerful to me. It was about power. She had learned that in order to empower, you must be willing to give up some of your power. And I think that's powerful for women and also men. In relationships, think about it, Tasha, and your show is all about love and relationships. In order for you to have a strong one, sometimes you have to give up your right. In order to empower the entire unit, the entire couple, sometimes you have to give up the power. And that's the same with human relationships. Men want to hold all this power over African women. But in order to build a strong nation, it would behoove them to give up some power in some way. So I thought that was a very powerful statement by Lema Bowie. And I know that others in the chat room, Nifa is saying she gave me goosebumps. And I know that there's been some dialogue about what was said. So very excited that you guys were interested. And I think that that interview was a fantastic one. And I'm looking forward to you guys reading the article in newdmagazine.com. I wrote an article this past week about African feminism versus Western feminism. There are some similarities, but a lot of differences, guys. So check it out. Tell me what you think. Leave a comment for us about what you felt the article spoke to you. All right. So we are going to leave you guys for now, but definitely do not forget, listen to Love 101 this Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, because we're going to be talking romance and finance. Romance and finance. All right, guys, a little bit more information. This week, we have a great lineup for you. Nude Radio Classics at newdradio.com. 8 a.m., 12 p.m., 8 p.m., and midnight. We have classic shows, some of the best shows that we've ever done on Nude Radio. We'll play them throughout the week. We have Internally Fortified Teaching Ministry of Dr. Peter Bonnity every day at 6 p.m., Spit Truth, which is a show that is co-hosted by Andre Harrison and Tasha Phipps, at 4 p.m. Wednesday. The Naked Truth is on Friday, as always, and Love 101 is on Sundays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right, don't forget, check out newdmagazine.com throughout the week. A lot of great feature stories. The Global Christian Event Network Awards are taking place. We've been nominated. We're going to be going to the awards gala and finding out if we have won the Christian Media of the Year Award. That's taking place next Saturday, March 17th. There's a cool story up about Andre Harrison's fatherless campaign. He's one of our radio personalities at nuderadio.com, and he is raising money for his book, From a Fatherless Father to His Sons. He wants to eradicate fatherlessness in America, and that's his book. He's hoping to raise funds toward that end. Check it out. Their story is up on nudemagazine.com. Actually, also, we have a cool campaign that was launched by Tasha Phipps. Win a dinner with Pastor Andre Harrison, because not only is he a radio personality, an author, and a pastor, he is an eligible bachelor. So Tasha Phipps created this campaign, and it's an initiative of Love 101, and we'll share that with you. We'll play the promo for you guys. For you gals, not you guys. For you gals, we will play.
No, gals only. Dre will definitely have a conniption if this is a guy on the dinner with Dre. So, yes.
We're going to play this little promo for you guys. So, until next time, I am Tiffany Knowles. And this is
Tasha. And I am Tasha Phipps.
Oh, gosh. All right. Yeah, ladies, please apply. We'll play that for you. And ta-ta. See you next time. Listen to Love 101 on Sundays. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Have any of you ladies ever thought, what would it be like to hang out with Pastor Andre Harrison? Well, here's your chance. Launched by Tasha Lady T. Phipps with our new program, Love 101. It airs every Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're offering you ladies a chance to win a dinner with Pastor Andre Harrison, better known as the Pastor with Swag. The eligibility criteria is very simple. Log on to newdmagazine.com today to find out about Pastor Dre's four main criteria. Then send in your application with your name, contact, telling us a little bit about yourself, including your personal faith story. You'll be thrown into the selection pool for an all-expense-paid dinner with Pastor Andre Harrison. Act now. We'll be taking submissions until the month of May. Then we'll make our final decision. Apply today, and maybe you'll be the lucky lady to win a dinner with Pastor Andre Harrison. www.newdmagazine.com.